I hope you all have a copy of God's Word. We're going to open up to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to look a little bit about a new year and what we're looking up against. But I was thinking as we were talking throughout the week and about a new year, and, you know, many of us have seen the flipping of a year, except for a couple that were just born this year. This will be their first flipping of the calendar. All of us have seen a calendar year flip. Fewer have seen a calendar decade, which they will see this year. You'll see a whole decade flip over. 10 whole years as a decade goes by. Many of us have lived the entire decade. Still fewer have seen the flipping of a calendar century. If we were alive in 1999, and do you all remember Y2K? Now, some of you kids have no idea what I'm talking about, but that was the big scare back, you know, what was it now, 20 years ago now. And Y2K, that was a century flipping. That's quite a unique time to get over. But in that same century, even fewer people, only twice since Jesus, have we seen a millennia flip. So that was quite a unique flipping of the time calendar that many of us have got to be part of. And so, interesting enough, all those new years that we saw, the decades that many of us have seen, and that century and millennia that many of us have seen, there really wasn't much change, can I get an amen, from December 31st to January 1st, was there? Not much change for you all. That calendar flipped, and sometimes it was a big number that flipped, and we'll see a decade flip, but our lives, our circumstances, those things that we are dealing with, not much change in that one time frame. You awoke to the same things, the same surroundings, the same burdens, the same blessings. Everything was pretty much the same except for a little bit of time has gone by. And the truth is, there is no magic transitional period of time, an instantaneous period of time that magically ushers you into your utopia, unless you're a believer and going into heaven. If you're alive today and tomorrow, your utopia just doesn't show up because the day flipped on through. So what's so great about the new year anyway? Really, we understand. What's the whole deal here? Jesus is. But there's a sense of hope. There's a sense of newness. There's that sense that things could be different. And there is something special about the flipping of the calendar year. And God has put us into a world that operates in the constraints of time and space. He does not operate in time and space. He's not in that constraint. But yet, he lets us operate in the constraints of time and space for the purposes of his glory. He brought Jesus Christ down into the time constraints of space and time. And I went to Ecclesiastes 3:1. That's a famous passage about there's a time for everything. But Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it goes on, there's a time for this and a time for that. A very famous passage. So instead of hoping our lives will all of a sudden turn on a dime this year, we're going to get control of that fitness program, we're going to take hold of that addiction and get it out of here tomorrow, and my finances will all change tomorrow, maybe the next few days, I want to maybe challenge you into contemplative meditation, thinking about who God is, meditating on his word. How about purposeful reflection? Remembering what he's done over the last 365 days and thinking about what once was is a blessing. Thankfulness occurs. And then looking at what can be, hopefulness will brew. And we're going to look at a little bit of Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to hopefully glean from the Israelites' experience of this transition from a desert wanderer to a promised land dweller. Anybody ready for that? Who wants to be a promised land dweller today? Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I ask that you nurture my voice and my thoughts to proclaim the things you want to say. I thank you for those that are here and listening. May you let them be attentive and receive the things from your word. It's a privilege to be here to bring forth the word of God. But Lord, it's really you speaking into the hearts of everyone here in a personal way. I thank you for being a personal God, a God that loves on us and cares for us and leads us. So God, have your way here this morning. We give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And if you know me, if you've been here long enough, you know I'm the type of guy that wants to give you a little bit of background. We don't just rip the Bible open and dig into a passage and I start teaching on it. Deuteronomy, funny name. It's actually not a Hebrew name, but it's a name that talks in the Pentateuch, the last of the five books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And what Deuteronomy really means is called the second law, Deuteronomy, the second law. And not that there's two laws. What really is going on here in this book is God is revealing his law again to the second generation. As we remember in the Exodus, as the Israelites come out of Egypt, the law is given at Sinai, and they all die away because of their unbelief and disobedience, wandering in that desert for 40 years. And as Moses is dying, and he's judged because of a bad choice, we'll get into that some other time, he's giving his farewell address here in Deuteronomy, and he's giving it to that second generation of Israelites. They're ready to cross into the promised land. And real quick on that whole promised land understanding, loved ones, that's not heaven. Okay, the promised land is not heaven. The wilderness is already after the baptism through the Red Sea. The wilderness is this little transition period of what immature Christians do. They kind of wander around for a while. Hopefully somebody grabs them and they're teachable. How many of us need to have teachable people under a discipleship programs? And they're discipled into living maturity in the promised land Christian. God with us. God in his presence with you. That's what the promised land's all about. And we're watching this as Moses had taken this generation of really disobedient people. And finally, after he gets these other second generation is ready to say, all right, kids, you're ready to go. I'm not going to join you. I made a mistake. But you're all going. And as we stand on the brink of a new year, our hearts are filled with anticipation. Maybe some of you have some challenges you want to grab hold of. And only God knows what the future holds. But really, with God, the possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, nope, you're going to be stuck where you're at forever. Nope, you ain't getting out of this there. You're done. That's a lie from the pit of hell. See, the devil wants to distract you and convince you that there is no power in God. But in God, you have the possibilities of the Almighty God leading you into a promised land, a life with God's presence. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. I got a long bit of scripture. I'm not going to go through every bit of this verse by verse, teaching wise, but we're going to read this. We're going to start at verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10. Go ahead and follow along. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt. Moses speaking to the Israelites here. From which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land from which God, the Lord your God, cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments which I command to you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command to you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, Then the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river, the great river Euphrates, to the western sea, shall be your territory. A lot of wordings there, just basically saying, look, you obey me, and I'm going to bless you in the promised land. And that's no different today, loved ones. Today we have this cheap grace being offered to the church and saying, hey, just accept Jesus Christ as your little insurance policy and then go on living any way you want to and everything's cool. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't preach the understanding of the gospel means come and die to yourself and be resurrected in Christ, we're cheapening the gospel. And this is the same as in Moses. Now, Moses lived in through the law in this time of the Israelites through the law, and we live today in grace. But really what Jesus said is, I have come to fulfill the law, and I have heightened it to show you even how much more you need me. But you come to me, and I give you rest. That's the power of the New Testament covenant. The new covenant, Jeremiah 31 says that I will make a new covenant that will be written on your hearts. He changes hearts, loved ones. And so write this down if you keep notes. We're going to look at this first thing. As we enter into the new year, remember God's provision. Remember God's provision. Be reminded how God provided you for yesterday and then believe for his provision tomorrow. Okay, we've gone through a day today. We're going to go, say, January 1st. Hey, wow, we have a roof over our heads. I got some clothes on. I had some eating. My family, we're all loving. Maybe we had an argument, whatever, but we're loving each other. I'm going to believe him for tomorrow the same. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the same thing because his mercies are new every day. He has promised you that if he's going to give you that day, he's going to give you the grace sufficient to live that day out. And that's a beautiful provision. Remind yourselves of that. So in verse 11 of chapter 11, he says that very clearly. But the land which you cross over to possess is the land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. You're not going to water this land on your own, kids. It wasn't like in Egypt where the rains would come on down. You go get buckets from the little River Nile and you bring it over to your gardens and dump it on in there. I'm going to water your land. I'm going to provide for you. You can't say your job is giving you everything. I gave you the heartbeat and the brains to work your job. It's me that does it all. Are you going to remember that? Are you going to give me the kudos, the blessing, the thankfulness? God's asking, are you going to do that? Or are you going to take it on yourselves? You see, our default is to say, hey, look what I did today. Hey, honey, I got home and I cut the wood and I got out there and I did some work and I got out there. I prepared some of the Bible messages I've been teaching. Look what I did today. We have that understanding in our hearts. And then I remember, but thank you, God, for giving me the brain that actually works my muscles and the breath that actually fulfills the blood that gives me the energy to do it. Praise you, God. In the last year, many of us can remember times of provision, but also can remember times of need. And God must be your source every day in 2020. Just as he told Israel the land will be drinking water from heaven, we must also remember to drink from the living waters of Jesus Christ on a daily way. And reading the Bible, praying, meditating on his word, fasting and prayer. And we stumble along, and as we're going to look at what happens here, as he says, obey, obey, obey. Sometimes maybe I wonder if a lot of problems we have is we're just not obeying the simplicities of coming to him first and saying, refresh my soul with the living water, God. I need you. Don't be the Sunday Christian who comes here and says, hey, fill me up and then I can go out for 6 days and just forget about it. And then I wonder next Sunday why everything's falling apart. God wants to fill you up on a regular basis. We just come here to encourage you and to pour our love into you and come together to encourage each other. It's the gathering that is powerful. And don't be accepting cheap substitutes for God's provision. You know, I was thinking today we go out and we grab hold of whatever it is. It's like eating a hot dog when God wants to give you that steak. I've had some pretty good hot dogs, but boy, when I get hold of a good steak, there is nothing that compares. And God wants to give you a spiritual steak. And he wants to I was thinking, a little illustrate this point. You know, who here likes dogs? Anybody here like dogs? I got a yip. Dogs, isn't that kind of funny? You ever have a dog and you put him on his back and you get that little spot right about here in that rib cage and you scratch a little bit? What does that dog start doing? Right? You get that dog going like this. Woo! He gets all excited about it. But God's not wanting to give you some cheap tickle. Now, I'm glad Noah was not here. I was thinking about doing this with Noah, but I'm going to take one of my kids. And this is what God wants to do. Now, I say, come here. God wants to do a little something different with us. He doesn't want to give you no cheap tickle up on your rib cage or your leg shakes for a couple minutes. What God wants to do is what God wants to do. He wants to love on you. He wants to hug on you. He wants to do that loving. You've been in the message, amen? All right. That's what God wants. His love is a tender love. His love is an embracing love. It's a perfecting love, too. It's not pampering. It's not just a little tickle to get me smiling for a bit. He wants to tenderly embrace you and say, come this way, child. And I want to show you greater and better things than you can do on your own. Don't accept the cheap substitutes life provides in lieu of God's provision. Let us enter 2020 with a strong understanding of how God provides the deepness of our longing in our hearts and into our souls. So as we enter and are reminded of His provision, there's another thing we could be reminded as we enter 2020, His presence. This is what the Promised Land's all about. It was all about His presence. It's all about being reunited with that which who you were supposed to be. You were created as an image of the Almighty God here on earth and given an allotment of days. And through Jesus Christ, you have been resurrected and made right with Him. And His presence goes with you. And in verse 12, he's talking here, Moses is saying, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. His presence goes with you. It provides for you. It perfects you. It is loving on you. And I want us to live as God has intended these Israelites to live. This is all a picture for our example. If you look at 1 Corinthians 10:6, it says it very clearly that the Israelites, now these things they were given, became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Everything that happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament were examples. The good, the blessings, and the bad, disobedience. Do this, and God is showing you what He wants to do in an embrace, in His provision, in His presence. But you disobey, you're going to see what you go after is fruitless. It's empty. It's hollow. And do what I told you, God says. Not what they did. Do what I'm telling you, and it's promised land living that glorifies God. It's living in the presence of God, and God is promising His presence and His provision to you. Now, that's an example for you this year. 2020 is the year upon which God says He cares about. He says from year to year. So here goes 19. It's out the door. Look, that's the past. You might have some consequences, but that's gone. We're looking at now 2020. I'm going to give you one day at a time. He purposed this time. He planned it all out. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows the way through the wilderness that you had to go to get to this very point in time. Are you ready to cross over? Are you ready to finally make that walk through the Jericho, walking through the river, going into that whole walled city and saying, we're going to take it down this time. I'm not running backwards. I'm not saying, look at these giants. I can't handle it. Woo! The grapes are too big. I'm out of here. No more of that. How about a Joshua and Caleb spirit in our hearts and say, I'm going to take this. And I might have to wait 40 years because all of my buddies that weren't wanting to go in, but I'm going in today. It might have been 20 years. Now you've been going backwards. But God says 2020 is going to be the year you go forward. You ready for an understanding of God planning your life? Check out in verse 12 how He says this. Because it's going to be the Lord your God. Look at it. A land for which the Lord your God. Is He your God? Have you embraced Him in a personal way, in a personal relationship through the cross? Then He's become your God. And that's a powerful understanding of who He is. A personal Lord and Savior. He's entered into a covenant with you. And the truth is that beginning of the year to the end of the year, He's with you. He's with you through the hills and the valleys. Man, everybody loves the hills, right? I said this before. Nothing grows up on the hilltops, but it's beautiful up there. Boy, is it beautiful. The view. I love it up on the hilltops. Thank goodness for hilltops. But you're only thankful for the hilltops because you've been through the valley. And it's in the valley where everything grows. It's in the valley that everything starts to push up from the seeds into fruitfulness that allows you to get up there and look down and say, yeah, I know what that was like. I went through that. I get to be up here for a while. And God has every bit of his presence with you in the ups and the downs. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He's going to bring you out of this old year. He's going to take you into a new year. His presence is going to go with you. His provision, his presence is the last thing we can go with. I love this one. His promised protection. Oh, how I need protection. Verse 13, let's look at it. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. We have to understand that there's a conditional response here. If you notice there, it says, if you do this. You see, the worst choice that we can make this upcoming year is to do it as the old guy used to sing, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I think it should be. You know what? I don't want to do it your way, God. I got a better plan, and I'm going to head down this road. That's a bad plan. He says, do it my way. Our purpose is to love God, to love him with all our heart, to obey him. It's why you were created. And just as a pen was created to write with its ink, you push the thing down, the gravity brings it down through the little bally thing, and we write. If I take the ink out and I say, I want to do it my way, the pen doesn't work anymore. It's useless. How about a car? Take an engine out of a car. You tell my kid to get in there. We're going to teach you how to drive. Start. Nothing, Dad. Yeah, there's nothing. There's no engine in it. We took it out. Well, is it really a car anymore? No. And that's how the presence of God in you enables you to be who you are. Take the power of God, the presence of God, his protection out. There's no more provision. You're not a Christian anymore. You have to remember his purposes are yours to be walking in. You need to love on him. You need to obey him. And Christians are meant to love God and worship him forever. That's that Westminster Confession. The chief end of man is to love and obey God and worship him forever. Love that. That's a powerful understanding. It's what we were created to do. And I want you all this year in 2020 to fulfill that primary purpose. As a pen writes, as a car moves, you as a Christian is to go out and love God. When you start loving God, all the other pieces do this. They come together perfectly. And you walk one day at a time. They fit together. Does this mean you're going to have riches and glory and everything in year 2020 is going to be perfect? No, it does not. You live in a fallen world. Well, what it does mean is you're not going to be this up and down, blown or like the waves of the wind. I think I'm here. I think I'm there. I don't know what's going on. I'm just trying to survive. Anybody that has more than two kids kind of understand that. I get that. Controlled chaos. That's what we call it, right? Controlled chaos when you have a lot of kids. But you know what? The power of God's going to give you the wisdom and the guidance and the peace to go through each day. Some of you have lived many days in the life. You're kind of, I don't know if this is ever going to change. He's going to give you the newness in your life to say, I believe again. I believe again. You protect me, God. I know you will. You provide for me. And that protection is powerful. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Back over to Deuteronomy, go on down to verse 23 and 24. That protection is beautiful. You know, God wants to drive out your enemies. It says here in 23, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. And every place on which your sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Wow. He was talking about the promised land, but the spiritual implications are just the same for you. Your giants are little, wee little ants compared to you and Jesus. So when we get out those funny looking mirrors, you know, those mirrors that were all curved and we put our giants and they're this big, all of a sudden they get to be this big to us. That's false. It's a lie. God wants to be the powerhouse in your life. And he's going to lead you into fields of joy and provision and peace, even through the circumstances that are hard. But obedience is the key to his provided protection and his promises. Over and over, Deuteronomy is the obey God and be blessed. Obey God and be blessed. Sometimes that's simpler said than done, though. But there's repentance. Who understands repentance is a walk? Who understands each day your mercies that are new means that I can go back and say, God, I was wrong. I want to change this. He says, amen. Come here, brother, sister, my child. I want to go with you now. So his mercies in each new day are given. And Moses here was preparing Israel to cross into the promised land. And I hope to prepare you in this year 2020 to cross into a new promised land. You may have gone backwards. Maybe you haven't gone further enough. Maybe you're stuck at Jericho. Maybe AI is coming. But there's a whole bunch of promised land left to go into. So as we go, may we be reminded of the need for God's provision. Don't depend on human effort. Be reminded of our need for God's presence. Then the times when we are with God and we see Him, we know His eyes are upon us. There's comfort there. And then also remember our need for His promised protection. He is always true to His word and able to handle all of your enemies. Look forward to that supernatural intervention this year. He has it for you. Believe and receive. And as we enter into this new year, let us resolve, like Jonathan Edwards had his list of resolutions. How about let us just resolve to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. That's a blessing right there. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the examples that we do have in the Israelites in the Old Testament. But I ask that we do better than they did. I ask for a powerful understanding of obedience and truth and repentance as we walk in the grace of God that is the unmerited power to do this life we call Christian living. We need you, God, desperately, every day of this next year. And we're going to believe that what we've heard here, Lord, you're going to honor. And we're going to walk in the truth and the understanding of who you are. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. May you all have